Game of Thrones starts in a few days. Who do you think will end up on the Iron Throne?
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Only three games on Thursday, so we're going to talk about what happened there, catch you up on some injury news, have a look at some streaming options for Friday as well. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. Let's start where we always do on these shows, and that's of course with
Monstrous Line of the Night.
The Monstrous Line of the Night goes to Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks beat the Sixers, a fourth quarter comeback, 128-122, as the Bucks have now sewn up home court advantage throughout the entirety of the NBA playoffs. Giannis played 35 minutes, 45-13, which included three triples, six assists and five blocks, 59% from the field, and got to the line 21 times. Unfortunately, he only hit 16 of them, which is okay, but at 76%, it probably is a negative overall, not a massive one, but still could have been better, could have been worse. That's a lot of free throw attempts for Yanni, as he was absolutely sensational. He started off the season a little bit slow, to be fair, but he has rallied to be the third-ranked player overall in fantasy basketball, averaging 28, 12 and a half, and 6 with 1.5 blocks and 1.3 steals, with really the categories bringing him down our free throw percentage and threes. If you've built around that, you could make an argument that he's the second best player on a per-game basis. It definitely, in an overall sense, he is the number two guy ahead of Anthony Davis, considering what's happened with Davis here at the end of the season. We were a little bit worried, myself and Kyle, when we looked at Yanni this season. We thought, well, he's going to suffer a big drop in minutes, and he has. He played 37 minutes a game last season. He is all the way down at 33, and that's even a larger drop in minutes than I anticipated. But what he has done is upped his efficiency stupendously, gone from 53 to 58% from the field. He's upped his rebound rate. He's upped his assist rate as well. And towards the second half of the season, he's hitting threes at a much better level, things which we weren't sure he was going to be able to do. But being able to increase your usage, your scoring, your assists, your rebounds, and your field goal percentage by as much as Antetokounmpo has done this season has obviously been fantastic, and it has offset that 4 minute per game drop that he has suffered this season. Let's go to the next award.
Waiver Wire Line of the Night.
This is also the deep leaguer of the night. Prison Mike of the Philadelphia 76ers, Mike Scott. He started in place of General Saunders, Jimmy Butler. Had one of those Mike Scott games, 36 minutes with 22 points, including six triples, but just three rebounds and one assist and nothing else. He was red hot, 8 of 11 from the field, didn't attempt a single free throw. So we know to look at this and go, well, that smells very, very fluky. So not a huge amount that we're going to be reading into this with Scott. His previous two games had totaled 10 points and zero threes, and then he went out and had 22 here with six. So he can be that three-point streamer, especially when guys are out like Butler there on the wing, pushing Toby Harris down to the three position. Scott, he's averaging over 20 minutes a game over the second half of this season, but still only 7 points, 1.6 triples. That's really all he is, just a very, very deep league guy. He's not hitting them at high percentages. He does absolutely nothing else, and we saw that really illustrated outside of the percentages, because obviously he shot well in this game. But the lack of other stats is really pretty staggering from Mike Scott. One thing I do want to mention about Giannis, though, with the Bucks sewing up the number one seed overall in the NBA playoffs, I would expect a game off in the final three, and I would expect fewer minutes from Yay. Now, they said, do you want to rest these games? He said, hell no. It would make sense, especially with his ankle problems, to at least sit one or two of these games and play fewer minutes when these games literally don't mean anything for the Milwaukee Bucks over the last 6 days of the NBA season. So that is something to bear in mind, that you might get him and Middleton, who's been dealing with some injuries, you're sitting out Brook Lopez, maybe sitting out some time in these next three games, because the Bucks literally nothing, there's no benefit to them playing these games, really only downside. Make sure you guys are subscribing to this podcast. You can do that, Apple Podcast, and of course on the new Himalaya podcast app, which you should all be downloading and using that to subscribe to this podcast. Let's look at the next award of the day.
Young Gun of the Night.
The Young Gun of the Night is De'Aaron Fox of the Sacramento Kings. 34 minutes for Foxy, 16 points with 3 rebounds, 10 assists and 2 steals. The percentage is still underwhelming for him, which is going to be the thing which feels like it's going to always hold him back a little bit. He started out red hot, but he has faded. The 52nd ranked player over the course of the season, 64th over the second half of the year, because that really high rate of shooting, which he did have to begin this season, has dropped off, just 44 and 73 from the field and from the line over those last 40 games, which has dropped his overall production. The steals have also come back a little bit there. I think he's at a legitimate chance to be a bit overdrafted next season, Fox, if people start looking at him as a top, let's say, 30 guy. I think there is a risk now. Players heading into their third season often take big leaps forward with their efficiency, and he's already taken a big one this year, going from 48 to 54 in true shooting. But as I mentioned, that second half, the true shooting's back down to 52, so it's still significantly below league average, which sits at about 56.5%. So still struggles in that area, and that is starting to regress back after a hot 20, 25 games to begin the season. We're seeing that slowly push back in here for Fox. The assists have been strong, a big increase that from last season. His steal rate has also gone up from last year as well, pretty significantly. And these are all big positive factors. It's just that efficiency is going to be, is he a fifth round guy or is he a third round guy? That's going to be the differentiating factor with him. And it's going to be interesting to see exactly how that does play out for him. But the second half of the season hasn't really been encouraging there, but we do see many players at this point in their career, that third season, take big leaps forward in that area. So that'll be one for us to watch for De'Aaron Fox as we move forward into next season. I tell a man's not hot. The dart of the night, Eric Bledsoe, got ejected after 2 minutes, didn't have a single stat. I think we all understand exactly what happened there with him in terms of getting those two techs, getting stuck into it with Joel Embiid. No numbers for him. It's really disappointing, obviously, on a day where getting these extra games in is key for someone like Bledsoe, and then he goes and gets ejected. I talked about him the other day when he was the monstrous line of the night. Just the last game where he had 29, 5, and 7 with 5 steals, and then to back it up with this is obviously tremendously disappointing from Bledsoe. He'll be back next game, but much like Middleton, much like Yanni, some fewer minutes, maybe a game off in these last three is a definite possibility. They do play on Saturday, which is a low volume day for the Bucks, so that's encouraging. And especially if he sits out that one, you're going to get George Hill as a real interesting streamer. That's going to be a real key day, that Saturday for the Bucks, because that is a low volume day. They play Sunday and Wednesday, high volume. So on Saturday, you got your Sterling Browns, your Paddy Connaughtons, your Georgie Hills, your DJ Wilsons. They could become options, especially with the ability or with the potential of the Bucks resting guys in that game against the Brooklyn Nets, which is a very fantasy-friendly team. So that is something worth mentioning. The plus-minus goats, Bill Cauley-Stein, who was dreadful last game, significantly better. That's what happens when you play the Cavs. A plus 108, where Shake Milton was really, really bad for the Sixers, negative 119.2. Let's look at some injury news that has come out over these last couple of days. Joshy Richardson's out for the rest of the regular season with that leg injury. That boosts the value of Goran Dragic and Deion Waiters as they become 12-team league guys. The blue swimmer, Alan Crabb's done for the season as well. He's had knee surgery on this knee. I think I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago that I didn't see him returning this season. That just keeps the value of guys like Smokin' Joe Harris and Caris LeVert and Rowdy Rodions Kuroks at that similar level to where they've been in those last 2 weeks. No surprise that both Devin Booker and Tyler Johnson won't play again this season for the Phoenix Suns. They haven't ruled DeAndre Ayton out yet. You still should be having Rashawn Holmes on your roster. I think Ayton will follow suit, but both Booker and Johnson are out. With Booker and Johnson out, Joshy Jackson's a guy you add. You look at De'Anthony Melton and Elia Kobo, along with Troy Daniels for your deeper formats as well, while McCall Bridges, I think, can solidify, at least as a back-end 12-team league guy. Marvin Williams already been ruled out of Friday's game for the Hornets with that foot issue. I think there's a real chance he doesn't return again this season. That should give some deeper league value to Michael Kidd-Gilchrist and Frank Kaminsky, to be honest, but not massive amounts of value opening up there. While with Philadelphia, James Ennis is out. He's going to be re-evaluated in the next 2 weeks, so he's going to miss some of the first round of the playoffs. John Simmons was not a player that played at all today. We saw Shake Milton get some of these minutes. We saw DRC Zaire Smith play a significant role. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Sixers do with that extra rotation spot. Simmons, who, again, I do not think is a good player, is out of the rotation now as two rookies, one bloke that's missed the entire season and another two-way guy, are taking his minutes here. Now, Shake can't actually be on in the playoff rotation unless his two-way gets converted, so that'll be interesting to see what the Sixers do with that. Do they trust Smith enough to play that Ennis role, or are they going to be General Saunassing 40 minutes for Jimmy Butler? Will that be what they do to try and limit what happens with this bench? But in terms of fantasy value for this season, maybe you look at Mike Scott again as that three-point streamer for very deep leagues. DRC is a guy that I do like. That's Zoya Smith. I do like him as a dynasty guy. We saw a few flashes of that in the games he's played. I really think he can develop into a Kawhi Leonard's obviously a very, very high watermark, but that's the sort of player, a guy that was unrefined coming out of college, but does have a lot of the indicators that could indicate, that's what indicators do, indicate that he could become a strong fantasy contributor in other categories apart from what he has shown so far. Let's look at these games now. Only three of them across the NBA on Thursday. A couple of decent blowouts as well. The first game was fun, though. The Bucks and the Sixers. The Bucks on the road beat Philadelphia 128-122. George Hill, 33 minutes with the Bledsoe ejection, 20 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. It's not just the extra minutes here that's impressive from Hill. It's the last three games he's really started to look good. He started to look like Utah George Hill, minus the injuries, and that's a real positive. He's rostered in 3% of leagues, and I'd be adding him, especially with that Saturday game, really just staring you in the face like dog's balls. He is an add in 14 teamers, I reckon, with the potential of guys sitting out, and the fact that he's playing bloody well. I don't think Tone Snell's going to return, and Malcolm Brogdon in this regular season, so there's minutes there. Brooke Lopez had 9-7, while Chris Middleton only played 25 minutes in his return from injury. Didn't shoot very well. He was only 7 of 18 from the field, but the 22, 3, and 4 with two steals are nice counting stats. DJ Wilson also looked spry, 11-6 with a 3 there, outplaying Ersan Ilyasova, while Sterlo Brown, 12, 5, and 3, really rock-solid 16-teamer, who's going to have 12-team stream value for that Saturday coming up. Paddy Connaughton also big minutes. I think he plays 30 a night pretty much down the stretch here. 4, 6, and 2 for Pat. Maybe a fringe 12-team guy, especially for that Saturday. For the Sixers, Embiid returned, played 37 minutes after taking the last three games off, managing his load, had a triple-double, just an absolute monster of performance. And if it wasn't for Yanni, he would have been the monstrous line of the night. 34, 13, and 13 for Embiid. 3 triples, 2 steals, 3 blocks, unfortunately just 7 of 10 from the line and just 39% from the field on a whopping number of attempts. He also hurt his ankle in the first half and went to the locker room, hurt his back at the start of the second half, seemed to play way too minutes in a game that really doesn't mean anything. I did not like that coaching from Brett Brown at all. He didn't need to be out there playing those minutes, playing that many minutes in a game where he was getting smacked around. He was obviously excellent though. Redick had 29 points with 5 triples, and Benny Simmons just the 6 points. At least he shot better, 60%, only 5 attempts. The last couple of games have been rough. 3 assists and 1 block, while Toby Harris, 13-9, really does seem to get limited when Embiid is back. Speaking of Zaire Smith, a triple one for him in 18 minutes, 6-3 with 1 assist. It's just showing you the sort of talent. Maybe Kawhi is obviously a really high point, but if he could become like a Danny Green without the three-point shot, but more potential as an overall scorer, I think that's maybe. And Danny Green's had a top 50 season in fantasy. I think Zaire might be able to get there. I still hold a lot of hope for him. While Boban Marjanovic was almost out of the rotation, just 3 minutes for Boban, while Jonah Bolden played 20. That's what they should be doing. Bolden's a better player, I believe, in most matchups in the playoffs, and it will be interesting to see whether Brown continues along that route for the rest of the regular season. The next game we take a look at, the Cavs and the Kings. The Kings 117, the Cavs 104. Chetty Osman 17, 4, and 3. I find it really unlikely that Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson return this season. Thompson was out of today's game, as was Love. So Osman's an interesting stream guy. Jordy Clarkson's providing good points value, 22 in 31 minutes, while the Padawan, Colin Sexton. I feel like whenever him and Harrison Barnes play, I feel like I say this all the time, but this is, you know, as indicative of what this guy is as a player every game, because they just do the same thing. 19 points. He had 3 threes, but 1 rebound, 3 assists and a steal, 5 turnovers. The lack of diversity in what he does from a fantasy point of view is going to render him to be a guy like Harrison Barnes, a guy that gets overvalued in certain fantasy situations. Larry Nance was pretty good here, 11-16. Lacked the defensive numbers, but he's been strong. He's a must-roster play. While Ante Zizic played 31 minutes with Tomo out, 14-10. He could be an interesting 14-16 team league guy. Marquise Chris remains bad. For the Kings, Cauley Stein, 31 minutes, so the minutes back up. His minutes are all over the place. Didn't miss a shot, only 8 points, but 9 boards, 2 steals and a block. A situational type of guy, while Bogdan Bogdanovic had 18, 4 and 5, and Budrick Hield, 23, 2 and 2 with 3 steals and a block with 5 triples. Really been a great season from him. Interestingly, since Dave Yeager called Marvin Bagley the Rookie of the Year, his minutes have gone way down. 21 minutes only here for Bags, 15 and 8, no defensive numbers. It has been a little bit of a rough end to the season. Now, the Kings are obviously taking it a bit easy on him with the knee problems he has suffered, but it hasn't been great to end the season. While Harrison Barnes, Barnesy, 9 points on 3 of 10 shooting, 4 rebounds and 2 assists. He is not, and he hasn't been for a while, a must roster 12 team league guy. The last game of the night, the Golden State Warriors really smacked the Lakers 108-90. Very little to talk about with this Warriors team. Everyone was kept under 30 minutes. Iguodala, Livingston, Andrew Bogut, they were all out of this game resting. You're going to have Boogie Cousins out on Friday as well. Nobody needed to extend themselves. Steph scored just 7 points on 14 shots, which is really un-Steph-like, but had 10 boards and 7 assists. Draymond had 12 points with 2 blocks and 6 assists. Durant went 15, 6 and 8, and Boog had 21 and 10. Really just an absolute annihilation. The guy to watch who's playing well at the moment is Quinn Cook. Any more rest from the Warriors and he gets pushed into a larger role. He had 18 points in 21 minutes. Could be a deeper league stream type of a player. For the Lakers, they made a change to their starting lineup. Lance Stephenson was out, thank God, because he's terrible. And big sexy Alex Caruso moved in. 37 minutes for Caruso, 9 points, but 5 rebounds, 6 assists. I actually like what he does on the court. I think he should remain starting for the rest of the season. That gives him 14 team league value at least with that assist value. While Rondo, pretty poor here from Rajon, 12 points on 15 shots, only the 2 assists, but did have 2 steals. Hit 2 threes as well, does remain a 12-team league guy. KCP was dreadful, 7 points on 19 shots. You could not piss on your field goal percentage any more than KCP did here. While Flaming Mo Wagner, started again in place of the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma. 13 and 6 in 25 minutes is nothing all that exciting. Got a couple of points late in the game. Not someone that we really should be looking at in many formats. While McGee only played the 21 minutes, 8 and 13 with 3 blocks. And Tyson Chandler was available and didn't play. I think that would indicate that he won't play again this season. Johnny Williams, big double-double, 17 and 13 with a steal and a block. If Kuzma's out, he could be that 16 to 18 team league guy. And I do think Kuzma will remain out. While Jamario Jones, 4 and 7 in his 27 minutes. That'd have to be just a 30-team league guy. Well, my man, Isaac Bonga, I like this guy. He is like my Zaire Smith-Light, a guy that I think has some real dynasty upside. 3 years away, maybe, but 4 and 3 with 2 assists, a steal, a block in 8 minutes and 40 seconds is interesting enough. Now, he's not getting the opportunity here. He probably won't ever get it on this Lakers team, but he is a guy that I do think has really interesting stat-stuffing potential for fantasy, and he's going to be on pretty much any dynasty waiver wire. So if you've got the ability with a deeper roster to add him, I do believe in him as one of those weird dynasty stash-type guys. All right, let's have a look at what is going to be happening on the massive, massive Friday. 13 games across the NBA. So just look at some injury scenarios. You've got the Spurs and the Wizards. Marco Bellinelli is questionable for the Spurs. If he is out, you've got Lonnie Walker, who gets some increased value for deeper leagues there. While for the Wizards, you've got Jabari Parker out with that knee sprain. Slamin and Sammy Decker will likely step in and play a larger role. Maybe they resurrect Jeff Green, but I think they want to see more from Decker. So that could be something there at least to see from him. I think it helps Bobby Portis a little bit as well in that scenario. With Atlanta and Orlando, Kent Bazemore and Fantapants Kevin Huerter are both doubtful. Taurean Prince is probable. So that's going to boost the value of someone like DeAndre Bembry, who should be able to step into the Bazemore slash Huerter role. Toronto at Charlotte, you got the Jedi, OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
He's missed the last few with a head injury. He's probable, while Marvin Williams is out for Charlotte. Boston and Indiana, Jaylen Brown is doubtful. Marcus Morris is out and Al Horford is probable. With Morris out, it does boost things, and Brown out as well. It does boost things a lot for Gordon Hayward. For Indiana, Darren Collison is doubtful, while Wes Matthews is questionable. If Matthews is out as well, Tyreek Evans becomes at least an interesting guy to take a look at. And for deeper leagues and stream purposes, Aaron Holiday becomes that guy. The Knicks and the Rockets, Dennis Smith has been upgraded to questionable. He had that back problem. We don't know if he is going to be ready to go. If he is out, that does boost Emmanuel Mudiay's value. Kadeem Allen is out. Alonzo Trier also listed as questionable. If all those guys are out, you're going to get 40 minutes or so of Mudiay. I don't know what they're going to do at power forward. The Knicks, last game it was Hezonja, before that it was Cornette. It's a real flip of the coin to see what actually goes on with that team. Detroit and OKC, Blake Griffin still listed as questionable, while the Duck Luke Kennard is probable. If Griffin is out, you get the big Andre Drummond boost, but in terms of value, Thon Maker, it becomes that streaming option there. While for Miami, we know Josh Richardson's out, Derek Jones Jr. is questionable, and Deion Waiters is probable. Now, if Jones Jr. is out, that does boost the value of Justice Winslow, Deion Waiters, Goran Dragic, who all become interesting 12-team league guys in their own right, irrespective of Jones's status. Minnesota, in that one, Taj Gibson's doubtful. Really don't see us seeing Taj play again this season, so that gives you Gorgui Dieng and Dario Saric in the slightly deeper than usual leagues a little bit of value. With Memphis and Dallas, Mike Conley's doubtful. Joakim Noah is questionable. Avery Bradley is out. While Dallas, they could be resting a lot of blokes. Dwight Powell, Jalen Brunson, and Luka Doncic are all questionable. Dorian Finney-Smith, he's probably closer to probable at this point, so lots of stuff could happen. Trey Burke's going to be a big beneficiary there. Maxi Kleber, Salah Mejri, depending on what happens with Powell. If Doncic is out, maybe it's Ryan Brokoff that steps up, Courtney Lee for deeper leagues. That could be an absolute disaster of a Dallas lineup. Really have some really weird shit going on in that game. The Kings and the Jazz, of course, the Kings today, they played, maybe you see fewer minutes for guys like Hield and Fox in this one. For the Jazz, they're missing a bunch of players here. Derek Favors is out, Kyle Korver is out. Both Ravishing Rick Rubio and Hull Neto are questionable, while Jay Crowder is probable. With Neto and Rubio out, if they are out, it does boost Donovan Mitchell's value quite a bit. It gives Grayson Allen a little bit of value in that situation as well, while if Crowder is out, which it seems unlikely, but last game he was probable and got switched to out, that does boost the value of Thabo Sefolosha and George Niang in that scenario. For the Pelicans and the Suns, Anthony Davis is listed as probable. The last three games, he's also been listed as probable, and then he was ruled out. I don't expect him to play, so check Diallo, but more importantly, Christian Wood. And then Jahlil Okafor, another option you can have a look at there. Frank Jackson is out for the Pelicans, so Ian Clark becomes that stream option. While in Phoenix, DeAndre Ayton is out for this game. TJ Warren not likely to play either. So you've got Rashawn Holmes, who is listed as probable, but he should be ready to go. You've got Joshie Jackson, you've got Okobo, you Crawford, Daniels, maybe even your Jimmer Fredette for the deeper leagues to see what they can bring. The Cavs and the Warriors, is going to be no DeMarcus Cousins, no Andre Iguodala, but we should get Livingston back. I don't really see Kevin Love or Tristan Thompson playing here for the Cavs against this Warriors team. Plus, I think we're going to see a pretty significant blowout happening. The Blazers and the Nuggets, CJ McCollum is out of this one. Yusuf Nurkic obviously out. For the Nuggets, we're all pretty healthy there, which is good news. And then the Lakers and the Clippers, the future MVP Kyle Kuzma missed today. I really don't expect him to play here, although Walton hasn't said he's being shut down for the season, so he could make a return. While Patty Beverley is questionable, he missed the last game. Yeah, I think he's probably likely to be out. That gives Garrett Temple maybe a boost, but it helps a lot with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. While Reggie Bullock, I really don't see. He was out of today's game as well. I don't really see him playing again this season. Let's now look at some stream options. Again, it is hard to stream when there are 13 games on, but you might need to actually drop guys who are in your active roster to really attack and hit the categories that you need to hit. So if we're looking at points, Christian Wood, Josh Jackson, really strong ads in that area. Manny Moutier becomes an option. DJ Augustin, Terry Ross, Rashawn Holmes, the Fort, Kevin Knox, and Deion Waiters can have some value, as well as Troy Daniels. So there are some options there who could become interesting options. For threes, Troy Daniels, one of the better guys out there. Deion Waiters, the Duke, Wayne Ellington, Landry Shamet, Ian Clark, Jay Crowder, Brynny Forbes is an option there as well if he is available, which he should be in most formats. When we're looking at rebounds, Tom Bryant still around in quite a few leagues. You've got Ivan Rabb, who probably gets another start for Memphis. Rashawn Holmes, Troy Brown can rebound the ball. Christian Wood, Bill Hernan Gomez of the Hornets, and Ante Zizic could be in line for another start. If we're looking at assists streaming, you got DJ Augustin again, Tyus Jones available in 67% of Yahoo leagues, Freddie VanVleet, Jamal Crawford, Corey Joseph with Darren Collison unlikely to play. He had 12 assists last game. DeLon Wright with no Mike Conley, Manny Moutier, and Troy Brown can get some assists, although we haven't seen a huge amount of that from Brownie so far this season. For the steals, McCall Bridges, Marcus Smart, DeAndre Bembry, three really elite steal options there. Josh Okogie and DeLon Wright also look pretty nice. Gilgeous-Alexander, Flaming Mo Harkless, PJ Tucker, Tyus Jones, Justin Holiday, and Corey Joseph can really be interesting steals streamers. For the blocks, it's Rashawn Holmesy-Holmes, Mitchie Robinson, if he's somehow still around, Tommy Bryant, Maxi Kleber could have a big one, Christian Wood, or maybe he also could have a productive game. Andy Bogut, maybe he comes in with DeMarcus Cousins out and blocks two shots. Nerlens Noel, Mason Plumlee, and Jahlil Okafor has had a couple of blocks in recent games, so he could be an option there. Field goal percentage, we're looking at Mitchie Robinson, Jahlil Okafor, Rashawn Holmes, Ivan Raab, Tommy Bryant, Bam Bam Adebayo, if he's around, Ivica Zubats against his former team, Kenny Faried, Cheick Diallo, Mason Plumlee, Deontay Davis, and Jakob Poeltl could have an influence on your field goal percentage. Well, for free throws, Jimmer Fredette can hit his free throws and he can get to the line. So he's an option there. DJ Augustin is someone to pay some attention to. Maybe Jeff Green if he actually plays. Rocket Rodney Hood. Ballinalli is another guy. And Brandon Knight, someone who can have some sort of an influence on your free throw percentage category. That'll do it for today's episode, guys. Make sure you are subscribing using the Himalaya podcast app. Also find us Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and on Spotify. And when you're in your car, tell your smart device to play the podcast Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Find me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeball. We've only got a couple more days to go to the end of the NBA regular season. So stick with us. Keep downloading the show. Subscribe and follow me on Twitter, guys. We are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Ivica Zubats.